Welcome to Albuquerque UFO UAP Explorations. My name is Birdie, and our guest is Tom Cahue, organizer with UFOs Over PA, a dynamic meetup group based in Pennsylvania. Tom brings a wealth of firsthand experiences and captivating stories from the paranormal and supernatural realms. With a lifelong passion for the unexplained, including UFOs, metaphysics, and cryptids, Tom's insights promise to enthrall and enlighten. Tom wears many hats in the realm of the paranormal. Not only is he a key figure in organizing UFO-related events in Pennsylvania, but he also hosts two engaging podcasts, Chasing Prophecy, broadcasted on radio in Louisiana and Mississippi, and Labeled Paranormal, a riveting discussion platform on all things supernatural. Additionally, keep an eye out for his upcoming mystery thriller novel slated for release in May. Along with Tom, we will delve into a myriad of topics, including personal UFO encounters, the intricacies of managing a UFO-centric group, and the significance of fostering community within the UFO space. I attended one of Tom's group events last night, a Zoom meeting where his group members were encouraged to share thoughts on anything related to UFOs, including their own experiences. Tom was a gracious and gentle host, recognizing that everyone is at a different point in their journey and giving a thoughtful ear to every guest. If you live in Pennsylvania, check out Tom's group. Now, let's get started.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome, Tom. Thank you so much for coming Absolutely. And talking with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing this to happen. I'm so excited. We're going to talk about a bunch of cool things.
Absolutely. Yeah. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about how you got into UFOs and the genesis of your meetup group?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So first off, yes, thank you for having me on, and lovely to hear from everybody. And I hope we get a lot of comments. But yeah, for everybody, right? So for me, I grew up in an X-Files household. I grew up in the Unsolved Mysteries household. I grew up in the, Italian and also Hispanic background where this was commonplace. We're not afraid to talk about this. It wasn't, oh, that's stupid or anything like that. It was wonderful. So it was more commonplace in my household. So obviously when you hear about cool things as a kid, you're like, hey, this is pretty interesting. So that my journey in the paranormal started very early. I had a paranormal experience before I don't even know it. I was told about it. You know what I mean? It was at such a young age, I don't even remember it. But I've had my own experiences as a child and, shied away a little bit from it. So it was, when you get something like that as a kid, 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, it's going to go one of two ways, right? I'm pretty sure That's it's going right. to go one of two ways. I want to make my life about this, or this is scary and I never want to do it again. It was the ostrich in the sand type of thing. You know what I mean? Put your head on the ground. So I was the latter. So after, mine, which I'm sure I'll go into at some point, it was pretty scary. I did not, like it. And it shied me, I shied away from that sort of thing for a while until I guess I became an adult. Now, when you turn 18, you're technically an adult, but I mean, like, emotionally.
Technically.
Yeah, I mean, emotionally an adult.
Right.
And for all of us, it can happen at any age. And there might be some people who still haven't. And, rock on. Like, that's awesome. But, until I became an adult and until I became able to put time behind hobbies and interests that I had that weren't based on others, doing what I want to do type of thing. That's right. When it really opened up tenfold. So I joined a paranormal society. I, joined many groups before starting UFO or before coming on to start or join UFOs over PA. And all of it was, good. You know what I mean? It was good, but it wasn't what I thought it could be. And, you know, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here or anything like that. So I, you know, after one of the events, Mark Way, who's a wonderful creator, he was the one who actually started the group. I was probably member two or three joining, you know, like a group, you know how that goes. And I reached out to him, and after a couple times of doing a virtual, and you know, he asked me to come on board, and he shared the same vision I did, is that, which was, we need to have an area where people of all ages can just come and ask questions, talk about stuff they've seen, because a lot of people have had grown up their whole life with this, don't talk about. And it's not good for anybody. You know what I mean? So get it out. You know, a problem shared is a problem cut in half, is what they say, right? So, you know, talk about all of your stuff. And, you know, not everybody has had a paranormal or UFO-related experience. You know, they'll bring in their pictures and we're like, could this be? But you're doing it complimentary. You're doing it, like, softly. You're like, I think this could be this, but thank you so much, you know what I mean, for bringing it in or showing us a video. You know, not being rude or what, you know, what have you. So, you know, everybody needs this place that, you know, you can go and bring yourself, talk about your experiences, talk about the cool stuff, because there's just not an outlet out there. So
that's right.
Yeah. And the group has grown tremendously, you know, since then. And, you know, we're trying to find a good time. I'll say that, you know, this group has started on Sundays. It has started on Thursdays. We might move to Tuesdays. It's just, you know, we're trying to get it out to the most people. And it's hard when you have a group of, you know, hundreds of people, because it's never, you're never going to get every single buddy.
It is.
You know, I think as long as we're a migrating group and not stationary, I think that'll allow for the most people to come in and out, because, hey, if I can't do Thursday at 6, then maybe I can do Tuesday at 4, or I can do Tuesday at 9, or, I, you know, whatever it might be.
Right.
And then you can try that out for 6 weeks and you know, make it a carnival. Travel all over the calendar. Whenever. I have two wonderful co-hosts, Mark and Jen. They're wonderful people. And, you know, we're really, you know, we don't come with an air of, I know everything, and here I'm going to preach to all of you. And that's something that I wouldn't like. So if I wouldn't like it, I'm sure other people wouldn't like it that way too, you know?
Right.
So we want to get everybody involved, talking, and even if it's, hey, I saw a cool documentary. Cool. Tell us. We love TV. I think that's a part, that's a part of the
Jen
curriculum.
Jen is here. Jen is here. Check that out.
Hey, Jen. That's part of the curriculum. If you can't be a UFO or paranormal enthusiast and not like documentaries, it just doesn't happen. I've yet to meet one that was like that. Jen is here, and I'm so glad to support, turning out, PA representing. So to give your group, I guess, a further explanation of the UFOs over PA. That was just the name to start. Mark is, well, people might not know, but he's in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is like an hour northwest of Philly. I'm about 40 minutes southwest of Philly. You know what I mean? So trying to give people an idea, we're definitely in the, you know, Pennsylvania on the state geography, it's like a rectangle. We're the bottom right corner. You know what I mean? So let's just think about it that way. We're around that corner. And then once we started this, we've had people hop on. And okay, I've met somebody from Delaware. Oh, okay, well, I mean, we're right on the border. That's fine. It's 30 minutes to Delaware. Okay, great. Met somebody from Maryland. And again, you know, tri-state area. That's fine. Met someone from Jersey. Okay, cool. Then we started getting people from North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, India, Mexico, Canada, just last night. And it's, you know, I'm like, should we change the name or should we just keep it, you know, because we're not like only PA anymore. It's just, I think, you know, and that speaks to how great our group is and how wonderful and warming Mark and Jen, as well as myself, are, is that, you know, people keep coming back. We do have, I would say we have regulars, you know, people come in and out, they'll hop on for 3 or 4 weeks and then maybe take some time off and then come back on and all of that. And they're all welcome to, because, you know, we would love if there was UFO stuff every week. Right, Bertie? You know, but there's just
Absolutely.
So maybe they want to come see, you know, they want to see what's going on, but on the times that there's not news or anything like that, we'll bring up a case. Hey, has anyone heard of Kecksburg? Has anyone heard of like Roswell? Has anyone heard of, you know what I mean? And go into that a little bit and just also, you know, go into the case a little bit. But if we don't have a specific case or you know, the conversation just, you know, we let it flow, right? So we're not going to bring anything back to a main topic. No, nobody wants that. You know, if we could get off on a tangent and we start talking about Bigfoot, then hey, sure, why not? You know what I mean? But one thing is, everybody, I ask them when they hop on, you know, what got you interested, but I also, you know, want to know, what are your beliefs about, you know, UFOs, you know, and people don't even know until I ask them, well, do you think they're from another planet, or do you think they're interdimensional, or, and people haven't even thought of that aspect of it. They just think that, you know, it's just a craft in the sky and who's piloting that craft. And you know, I think we allow for that. The step one is the saucers and the entities, right? But step two is, okay, where do they come from? And you know, I want to open people's eyes up to where, you know, because your guess is as good as mine, you know what I mean? So let's just talk and have a dialogue about what could be right, you know, because until you're in there, you know what I mean? Until you're all said and done. And then, you know, after the fact, it's fun to speculate. It's fun to talk about. And it's good discussion because, you know, just because David Grush got on there and said that these were interdimensional. Well, maybe some are. You know what I mean? But we have to not paint with a broad brush, right?
That's right. We don't know anything about where they are coming from, who they are, what they are. It's still a big mystery. Now, it may be true that some members of the government crash retrieval team may have a better idea than we do, but most of us just really have no clue. And I think it's great that you're so open-minded with your group. I try to be that way with my group too. And it's awesome to have a group where you can mix and meet with people of all different kinds of belief systems within this space. We've got people who are channeling aliens. We've got people who are hardcore nuts and bolts types. And
yeah, I love all of them.
I do too. I love them all. It's just amazing. So tell me about some of the activity that you've seen in Pennsylvania. Have there been any exciting UFO flyovers or anything interesting? There must be. There's stuff interesting
there
everywhere.
There has to be. I mean, we have, and to be honest, you know, we have a state that's bookend. You have two cities on the end and trees and mountain in the middle. So the geography does lend, despite us being mid-Atlantic, despite us being in the, you know, major city center of the United States, you know how so many millions of people live in like a 90-mile, you know how it is. So, you know, we despite it being there is open area and a ton of open area in the middle for things to happen. And I briefly mentioned Kecksburg was one of them. You know, that's Pennsylvania's Roswell. Right. And that, you know, I think it's only Pennsylvania's because it landed here. I mean, that thing was over, I think, seven states in Canada, too. So, but, you know, anyway, I digress. There is a good amount of, you know, area to UFO spot. You know what I mean? We do have plenty of Appalachian Mountains. Where there's mountains, there seems to be more activity, I would say. You know, it just lends to that. But no, with a part of UFOs over PA when we first had started, I would grab video from MUFON and just take a look at what happened in the last week. You know what I mean? And obviously not everything happened in the week in Pennsylvania, but there was updates every day. I would just take the video. I would share my screen and I would say, hey, look at this. Now I would pick and choose, you know, cause a light in the sky in the dark on a cell phone camera, like, what are you going to do with that? You know, like, I'm sorry, but it could be, but we're seeing the rebroadcast of the broadcast. It's not clear to us. So I would find some that were, you know, track to G, because they would give latitude and longitude. So I'd have to do a second step in there and be like, all right, hold on, let me Google this. Where is this one at? Okay, this is over this area of PA, and take a look at it. And it would be people that, you know, every once in a while you got one that you know, using my filter, you know what I mean? Because this is for the group, but I'll take ones that are obviously somebody had faked it, had done, you know what I mean? All of that. Sure. And I would bring it out to the group and say, what are we seeing here? And it was great because people were like, oh, look at that. Yeah, look, do you see how it's moving this way? You know, and pick and choose the ones that were, you know, it's a, you know, motionless camera. The guys, it's not, you know, all over the place. Right. And you would not believe that every single week you had at least two or three that were, oh, wow, this is quality. You know what I mean? In Pennsylvania. And that's our area, let alone, you know what I mean? Because Nevada, tons. California, tons. You know what I mean? Sure. Out where you are, sure. There's tons. You have, you're in open sky country, you know?
Yeah, open sky country. New Mexico, yeah. We're just, they all stop here.
Absolutely. So, there's, you know, and what we do is we try to just have a discussion about it. And what I'm, you know, if you don't mind, I can give a little insight into what I do or what I had done over there here.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I will do this. There you can see. Birdie.
Yeah, I can see here.
All right, great. So this was captured. This is the opposite area of where we are. If I'm the bottom right corner, this is the Great Lakes Erie, and this is the top left corner. So this is the complete opposite of PA. But take a look at this flashing orb next to the power plant up there.
Oh, interesting.
And they pan over to show you the power plant.
Right.
And they're trying to zoom in, but their mirror is like taking some of the focus away. But you can see the pulsating orb that was actually a report. This happened 2 weeks ago.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yes. So that's just about the video. There's nothing more there. But I wanted to go ahead and show that. They'll pan back over so you can see the power plant. And from reports, they didn't capture this one, or they didn't capture on that one. But what they did was... what they did was mention in the report to MUFON that it flew straight up in the air afterward.
Wow.
So that's basically it. Just to give a nutshell and give everybody who's, you know, watching along and everything, that stuff is free. That stuff is free. The National UFO Reporting Center has that. Just make an account, go in there and search, and there will be a side column that says media, why for yes, and then nothing if there's obviously none. Take a search, take a look, and you'll be surprised in your area how many things are in the sky that get reported. Because if you were to ask me, I'm nowhere near the number. If I'm saying, oh, maybe, I would say probably, oh, there's probably like 1,000 a year. Nope. You know what I mean?
It's an incredible amount. It's truly breathtaking, the amount of UFO reports every year, many of which are credible.
Yeah. And it's, I would think there'd be less reporting now because everybody's doing this. You know, everybody's looking down.
Right. I know that's like, you go anywhere. How many people actually look at the night sky these days? Or even the daylight sky. How many people? Most people, they've got their phone and they're just staring at it all day.
Yeah. And
become, you know, an extension of our body.
Well, let's branch off of that a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Let's branch off of that and let's have a little, you know, let's have this theory, right? Let me put out this theory.
Yeah.
Yes, it's only with 10% of people reporting. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Because you know what? If I didn't say, you know what I mean? And I'm not talking specifically to this group, you know, because we are like that, right?
Right.
But if I didn't mention that to the common person, who the hell knows about that website? Who the hell knows?
Right. Yeah. Only people, you know, kind of in the know.
911. That's not, you know, that's not what you do. That's not how it goes. There isn't. I would love if there was like a 711 or an 811 and that gave you to the UFO reporting center and you're like tic tac 645 and you have a prompt that you're going off of. That would be wonderful. That's the kind of world I need to live in.
But anyway. That wouldn't get abused.
Well, yeah, you're right. Maybe they should Well, they'll have to have, you know, a block list too.
That's right.
But, you know, what would it take? And here's a discussion point that I was thinking about that I wanted to bring up, and we went into it perfectly. This discussion point of what would it take for the mass public to believe a UFO sighting? Because if, let's say, you know, a saucer landed on the White House lawn and got out, I guarantee you there's a population and a significant one that would be like, it's fake, even if it's 100% real.
Yeah, I think that that's the case. If there were a mass landing somewhere or another big flyover like the Phoenix Lights, I think there would be a percentage of the population that even if they saw it with their own eyes, they would say, oh, it's a hologram. It's, you know, a government op of some sort. I think people are very reluctant to accept the alien card.
Would you say that's fear?
I would think it's part fear, and it's a big part is cultural conditioning. We have been bashed over the head for decades upon decades that these things do not exist. We are crazy conspiracy theorists if we even entertain the idea. And that just runs deep, I think, in people's psyches.
You are labeled as a conspiracy theorist if you push back on any sort of idea.
Right.
And not even, you know, again, with the paranormal community, with the UFO community, there are some that give us a bad name. I mentioned this yesterday. You have to be more skeptic than the skeptics. You know what I mean? But you can do that in a polite way to keep people coming back and tell them,
right,
no, actually what you saw is this. But hey, good on, bring everything, you know? And it's the same way that if you push back, you're labeled that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And no, I'm just a guy with a telescope who wants to go out and look at cool things in the sky, you know, and eventually I want to go out west and look at drawing a blank here, the lights right outside Vegas, I can't think of it, you know, the ones that they call like ball lightning and things like that out there. I can't think of their name, but and this is as close as the audience will ever be to a ghost, is you know exactly what I'm talking about, you're saying it out loud in your head, and I still can't think of it. That's a human way of being a ghost. So I like to mention that.
Here, Michelle has brought up an interesting point here in the comments. As far as if you see something and you want to make a record of it, there is the new app Enigma, which is part of that whole research association that had that started up a couple years ago. And they have an app and you can report any sightings on there.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. See, I learned something new right there. Yeah. Enigma. Okay.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, let's just move into 2010.
That's right. That's right.
We'll worry about 2020. We'll worry about 2020. We'll do that later. Let's just move into the 2010. Okay. That's all we want to get to. You know, we're still on dial up here.
You know, there's a lot of truth to that, Tom, because Even the military pilots are just now starting to get a means by which they can report sightings, and they're still being ridiculed. So it's taken up into 2023, 2024 for some of these things that should have been in place decades ago.
Absolutely. And they're finally catching on to, did you know Canada, for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, they have their own file. They have their own person that they report to. So the police, we don't have that. We just take the 911 call. I mean, you saw what happened in Las Vegas last summer, right? The cop went out, he took some statements, and that was it. The report, now if this was in Canada, the report that he filed would go to a completely separate department who would take that back to Quebec, Toronto, wherever their headquarters is, and file it in a certain way. And a woman, this is a documentary that I watched this on, and the woman that was there, she said, nobody ever asked questions once it was handed off. And you never got a follow-up. You never got an email, a phone. You never got anything about it. But at least they had a method. They had a process for it, where we now, taking, you know, so many years later, it took us that long to get there. So I think, and here I'm going to go out on a limb here and talk about disclosure. I think the point of disclosure is only to benefit companies and not so much us. And what I mean by that is you have all of these smart individuals that are coming out of these big, bright colleges, all of that stuff.
Right.
Back in the day, people were more likely to be quiet. In the 60s, 70s, 80s, you had a nuclear arms race with that
right.
dominated a lot of people's thinking. You don't have that overarching thing right now, right? So right. when you said, I want you to work on this, you know, hey, come on, you can come over. You know, you're going to work on something. You're gonna work on something cool. But we can't talk about it. You're more likely to listen in a previous generation than you are in this one. I'm just theorizing, okay? I'm not saying it's...
Sure.
So now... You need to replace those 60s, 70s, 80s brilliant scientists with some new people. And you're trying to pitch that same old argument. They're not going to fall for it. They're not going to want to go there. They're not going to say, yeah, I'll do that. They want to talk about the cool projects they're working on. Everybody has a social media. So I think the disclosure is to backfill some of the retiring or passed on scientists at your big companies, you know, at your, you know, BlackRock or Lockheed Martin or all of them, because this UFO retrieval program, which has been going on,
right.
you are still collecting material, but the scientists or the people that you have working on it are getting less and less and less, and you need to fill them up more. So offering disclosure, you can now partner with top universities. You can do MIT. You can have them do a transition program where they work right from there into your company. And so I think it has nothing to do with benefiting us. I think it has to do with, you know, making sure they stay on top.
Okay, that's really an interesting point. And I hadn't thought about disclosure in terms of meeting a demand that mm-hmm. caused by, you know, retiring workforce. But we saw this actually, exactly what you're talking about, in 1995 when the Stargate program, the government's remote viewing program, was declassified. Yes. And I firmly believed at that time and still do, the reason they declassified it and made it public was because all of the soldiers that were in the program had just hit retirement age. They were all taking retirement and they knew these guys were going to talk and they had to get in front of what was going to happen. So I think that, you know, this could be a similar situation where they're getting in front yeah. of it. They're recruiting younger workforce. But I think it's mm-hmm. interesting, too, just in terms of disclosure and what's going on. And I'm really wondering what you think about this is just the okay. whole national security narrative that's been woven around it in terms of the congressional hearings and what we hear some people, Lou Elizondo, Christopher Mellon. They're framing this in terms of national security. Is it truly mm-hmm. a national security threat, do you think? Or do you think that they're using that as a means of making it more palatable, perhaps, to members of Congress and the public at large?
Yeah, so absolutely. I don't think it's the national security way. I think they're using right. it and using that huge umbrella as a national security explanation for keeping all of this under wraps. However, yeah. I think that's starting to go away a little bit because other countries, we had a head start and I believe other countries have caught up.
Right.
You know, so when they use that national security thing, they want to have it both ways. They want to have a new generation of doctors. Yeah, absolutely. Fear mongering is exactly what it is. But they want to have this new generation to come in and work on their stuff, but also have it classified right. because it's national security and you can't talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, on David Grush's podcast, right?
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Jen, definitely. I do know that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's definitely true. But, so, you know, David Grush's podcast, or when he was on Joe Rogan's podcast, he talked about why is it that I can study nuclear physics in a university, but once it becomes weaponized, it's classic or it's classified.
Right. Right.
You know, so use that principle and take it, you know, a step further with alien and UFO retrievals. You are using it to make it a national security issue. You don't care about what you find on there. They damn sure don't care about whatever creature or entity would be on there.
Right.
And they want to know, under the guise of national security, how can I use this to further my interest? And whatever their interest is, du jour, you know, that's yeah, what they're going yeah. to go ahead and do.
Right.
So if theirs is weaponizing, or it is, I mean, I don't know, for example, but stealth or invisibility or you know, higher rate of speed or bending space and time, that's where yeah. they're going to use as national security, because it's such a catch-all. It's such a big brush.
It is. It is.
And the how you get that back is by changing the definition or putting categories right on what national security is. But you have to go through them to make that change. So you're almost doomed before you even start to right. try to do that. The fact that class, you know, to get to declassification, and the fact that it got as far as it did, I'm actually pretty shocked. You know what I mean?
I am too, to be quite frank. It just how much has happened since 2017 and how far mm-hmm. it has come. It's remarkable, but it still hasn't mm-hmm. gone all the way, and they still keep reeling it back. National security. But if you look, you know, just over the eons, going back to the very beginning of human history, this phenomena has been around us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been reported in many different kinds of way, through oral storytelling, through paintings, through the ages, petroglyphs. We've got petroglyphs here in New Mexico that show you know, smaller creatures with big eye, almond-shaped eyes, and yeah. what appears to be flying saucers carved yeah. hundreds, if not a thousand years ago.
And so, myself, Jen, I can speak to as well. We are yeah. big history buffs. I think that's one thing that was founded across all three of the co-organizers of UFO today is all of that historical text.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's all
the historical paintings, you know, the artwork, everything like that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and to Robin's point, who you had up there, I agree that we don't really need to rely on the government and to just look up. And we've, you know, most of us who are in here, we've had our own experience with something, yeah. you know, whether it be benign to a full, and some even practice CE5, you know, and that. Right. But I think there's a part of this community that you are correct in that needs the validation from the government where others might right. not. And right. they, I am right, and I need you to tell me I'm right. And that part, I think, is counterproductive towards our movement. So you're absolutely right, Robin. Yeah. I think, you know, I've had an experience. I know what it is. Other people have, but there's so many in the community that won't stop there. And what I'm trying to build and what we're doing in there is not necessarily for them necessarily. Now, we're all inclusive and all of that kind of stuff, but you know, we want people to have their own experience or their own questions and feel validated that they have a community to listen to. But you're absolutely right. They're, you know, we don't need the government to tell us. We just need to know what it is. And you can come out with all kinds of stories of new craft and swamp gas, ball lightning, whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever it is.
Right.
And the true members, they don't need that. Go ahead and take that. You know what I mean? But there is a big community that they know needs them to say something that they're fighting back with pull the rug out from the other ones that,
right.
you know, from the other members of the community to, I can't think of the word right now, but, you know, make us less credible is what I'm trying to, you know, take the credibility away.
Oh, sure.
So Robin, that's a wonderful point. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. So in your bio, you say that you're also interested in cryptids and other kinds of paranormal experiences. And I know my group is super into all these kinds of things too. So let's talk them. Bigfoot and cryptids and Absolutely. Ghosts and everything.
Okay. All right. So let's start off with a divisive one. This is probably, you know, I'm not going to make many friends by saying this, but it's my belief that cryptids are not of this world. And what I mean by that is when we see and when we talk about them and when we have experiences, it's a thinning of the veil between one realm and another, one dimension and another, whatever you want to call it. again, I'm not an expert, but I'm just telling you what my theory is based on like how I'm interpreting all of the data, right? You know, that's all that I can do. I can't, you know, speak about anything else but that. It's just my interpretation. And so my interpretation was they are thinning of veils, and what we're seeing is them in their own element. That's why we don't have a body. That's why we don't have families. That's why we can't find a pod. And I understand that the world is huge, and I totally get all of that. But it, so far, until something changes, that to me, that's where mine is that they don't live in this realm. They're in another. And yes, there was a Bigfoot wave in the 1970s in PA, and it does not surprise me at all because, again, going back, we have two big cities on either side and just trees and mountains in the middle. Pennsylvania is the name that they affectionately call it.
Oh, Pennsylvania, love it.
Pennsylvania is what it's true. It's what they tell you up here. It's farms, and all of that. And there's absolutely 100% area that Bigfoot could hide. And what you're talking about is Johnstown. And they had a cryptid, or they had a Bigfoot wave, you're right, in the 70s. And it almost traveled up and down the Appalachians right there. So, you know, when you get closer to Pittsburgh, then think of like south, you're not Maryland, you're more West Virginia, Virginia, Kentucky area kind of thing in there. There was a wave of them at the time. And I, you know, that never really been flushed out or anything like that. And good God! Well, you know, I don't think
have, human bird hybrids. Jen is mentioning that here. Is creepy. I'm sorry. I guess not a human bird being named Birdie, but
well, maybe she was talking about you. But where's the distinction? Is it top half, bottom half? Is it It has to be, because you can't go down the middle. You only have one wing. What the hell is that going to do for you? Big birds, though, Jed. Big birds are another one, because we're terrible.
Oh, yeah, pterodactyls. Like, people are those. Yeah, people reporting enormous pterodactyl-type birds or other huge avians of some sort or another. But I know that here in New Mexico, there are a number of Native American tribes and pueblos that have had numerous encounters with Bigfoot. And some of them have collected hair samples, even feces samples. Now, that's not to say that they didn't come in through the veil from some other plane of existence. The word interdimensional gets thrown around a lot, but there is no valid scientific definition for that term.
I'm not going to sit here and say there is.
Yeah. It's just a catchphrase. But there have been many Bigfoot sightings associated with UFOs seen at the same time and the same kind of activity going on. And that certainly happens here in New Mexico. Have you had that kind of sighting pop up in Pennsylvania? I bet you have.
There's one that comes to mind. And again, this is out, you know, middle PA type area of the classic Bigfoot phenomena. So the banging trees, the howls, the throwing of the rocks. I mean, as cliche as you can get, but also reports of unexplained lights in the sky. This is an area in the middle that is not a government area. It's not, there's not the military bases there.
No one is saying that Bigfoot is a national security threat.
But what it could be is, you know, a scout, if you want to take it in that way. It could, you know, that would make sense, that it can breathe our air. It can, you know, typically when you have UFO and alien encounters, when they tried, you know, you've heard of the Men in Black, you've heard of the replica type ones where they look sort of human and they're a little off because they're not from here. They're trying to paint a painting of a picture. And so I think if they tried to do that of a monkey, that's exactly what Bigfoot would look like. So maybe it's the scout. Maybe it's something designed to blend in. They're like, oh, they won't know. But we're like, yeah, what is, you know, what is that? But, you know, sample readings, soil readings, what have you. I know for a fact there's many stories of people seeing strange lights in the sky, and then the hoops, the howls, and the sticks, and the throws, and the rocks, and everything like that. Yeah, there we go. You know, that's right up my alley, and Jen's as well, actually, with you know, ancient Sumeria and the hairy wild men. And we had Jen could probably do it more justice, but we had a wonderful viewing of Tartarian races, and we that spoke into this about that. And sometimes, you know, Jen has been great about organizing watch parties of different things and then having a discussion about it afterwards.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely, you know, could now I'm going to open up a can of worms with this one. But, you know, if you were to believe Book of Enoch, if you were to believe, you know, ancient Sumeria, and you believe even before that with possible Anunnaki, you know, around, who's to say they only made one try at making the human
age? Yeah, there are all those theories, because people have found, archaeologists have found things inside, buried in, well, it formed, mm-hmm. you know, rock has formed around them. So these things must be millions of years old, and they're little pieces of technology, screws and wires and all kinds of strange things. So it is possible that life is cyclical in nature, and we have died and been reborn multiple times throughout history.
It certainly seems that way, doesn't it? It certainly seems that we've had multiple goes at this. And maybe we're getting better each time around, or maybe not. I read a wonderful piece about how our symbiotic relationship with technology and technology is actually the supreme being of this, and it makes us better to make it better.
It gets too big.
Right. Solar flare knocks out all the technology, and us back in the Stone Age, because we had to live underground and all that, we come out and we start doing it again. Certainly not going to give a full-on answer about that one, but it's documented. And some people, you know, do take that, and they think that's possibly what, you know, could be happening in life and life. I mean, like, overall in general, not just yours or mine. But yeah, if the Anunnaki were to create multiple tries at the Homo erectus and their DNA, maybe they went 75-25 instead of 50-50. And that's what you got. And they said, we can give this something that it can stay on this planet. We don't want to kill it, but we can give it a way to hop in and out of dimensions. And I think that would be wonderful, because I would always like that. They're the, you know, how they say they're the hide and seek champion, right?
Right.
but if we, you know, if we were to think that Anunnaki, Bigfoot and things, there are higher dimensional beings, and if you believe time is the fourth dimension, that means they can interact with it. We can just track it, but never interact with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we could go off in a metaphysical argument that way of, you know, what is the fourth dimension? But if they're sitting there at higher, you know, how we can imprint on 1D, 2D, and obviously in 3D in our world, but we can't go higher if you were to believe those laws. If they were from 5, they could interact with time to be gone right in front of your face. It was here and then it was gone. How many times have you heard that story?
Yeah. And people see these things just disappear into thin air, or they see a literal portal opening up and creatures coming out, like described Skinwalker Ranch, other locations as well.
Absolutely. Skinwalker Ranch is another odd area, because I just don't think, see, money's not the problem there. Robert Bigelow, money's not the problem, but it's still so odd. You know, I just don't know if at this point, 2024, we have enough technology to make a difference, whether we want to learn about something or not. I just don't know if we're there yet.
I don't think we are. Honestly, I don't think we are. I think that, I mean, certainly the common man isn't there yet, just in terms of technology you can buy off the shelf. I can't get questions answered about what these things are. We don't even have access to real data about many different incidents. We just have stories, some photos and videos that we can access, but we don't have access to metamaterials, crash retrieval, data, bodies, to biologics, as Rush would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, we would, right? If, okay, they're pulling it out to the town square and everyone can come take a look at this alien body, right? Let's say that happened. Again, getting back to the point, people are going to say that's not real.
If that's it was really, say.
Yeah. Yes. So they don't have to discredit us. We do that for them.
And so let me ask you this, because sure. I have had this argument with so many different people, or just, you know, differences of opinion. If, say, the president tomorrow gets out there on a podium and says, we are not alone, and then they show evidence, and suppose they actually show enough evidence so that the bulk of America and the world at large thinks, okay, this is real, this is true. Do you think that it would cause societal collapse, riots in the streets? Or do you think people, after a week or two of incessantly Googling it and watching every YouTube they could, that they'd just go back to their regular life and kind of forget about it?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. Okay, so let me break this down. We are taking, okay, people believe it. They're not, you know, it's people believe this.
Yeah, we're just making the assumption they're going to believe it based on the data presented in the individuals. Maybe they get some religious leaders up there, the Pope and who knows who else, to make a statement so that enough people actually believe it. I'm just wondering if you fall on the side of, no one cares. Or the side of, oh my God, there's going to be riots in the streets and societal unrest, and it's going to change everything, or somewhere in between.
So I will say there's somewhere, it's probably somewhere in between. I'm going to say that you will have your people who this pulls the rug out from under them, their whole world shattered, and they cannot go on. And you might have even suicides and things like that.
Oh, sure.
I think that that's probably realistic to think. Also, now having religious leaders, now that you mentioned that caveat, I think it's going to go a little better, because there are people who still follow their faith and what their faith says. And, you know, in many books of the Bible that are banned or whatever you want to call them, they do talk about extraterrestrials in one shape or form. But, you know, the main text conveniently leaves a lot of that stuff out there. So when you have that and people are more comfortable religiously, I think it would go a little easier. I do think it would open up, not to societal collapse, but it's definitely a shift, because you're going to open up, well, I want to know everything I can about them. I want to know everything, you know, about them. Are they friend or foe? And then you're also going to have, well, if they come near me, it's new and I don't like it. Fear is the dominant emotion on this planet. So when you have fear of something that you don't know, I think it's going to cause some issues. So that's why I only say it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be everybody's happy and all this kind of stuff, you know, and blindly following this, that, and the other. I do think that, you know, you have people when you come out and give some sort of, you know, what are you going to call it? Like, they're assured, okay, they're aliens. This is okay with us religiously, this and that. But then you also have your other set that I don't know what they are. I don't want them near me, and could cause issues. So I guess that's how.
Yeah. I guess it would depend on which religious leaders step forward too, because, you know, by all accounts, there's a faction in the Department of Defense that believes that these are demonic creatures.
Oh yeah.
And then you have the Catholic Church. They have been working on theological position papers to bring in the extraterrestrial question into the Catholic faith. You know, the Pope's already come out and said, well, he'd baptize an alien.
Yeah.
So,
well, that was nice of him.
I know, very nice. I grew up Catholic, so.
Well, as long as it's not the signs aliens, because I think they can't have water, but as long
No full immersion for them.
Yeah, we think this wonderful, beautiful thing, and you kill it right there in front of everyone. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, here's a good point from Jen, where she's saying that she thinks there are groups that want us to fear aliens. And then on the other hand, We have a comment here from Michelle saying that 65% believe that intelligent life outside of humanity exists.
Yeah, no, there was actually, what is it, YouGov or YouPoll that I saw that there's that confirmed, like, basically those numbers there that, yeah, they, you know, people do believe that it exists. But one thing I will say is you asking me here whether it exists or not and me giving an answer might be different than you bringing it to my planet and see that, you know, okay,
that's
this actually
very
does exist.
True. Yeah, because it's an academic question for most people, unless they've had some kind of deep personal experience with it. That's a very good point. Yeah. It's, yeah.
So that's where, like, my little caveat would be there. Like, I'm not saying, hey, you know, whatever, but hey, they exist versus do you think they exist? I think that question would get some people a little confused or might change their answer a bit, because it's fun to want things and things, but now that they're here, you know, and then what's right. the plan? You say that you know that they're here. Do we have to watch out? Are you going to make some sort of integration program, or is you going to give them some land out in the ocean? Like, what, you know, what's next? I think,
right.
Actually, now fleshing that out a little bit, I think that would be, that needs to be addressed too, you know, because if they do say, hey, they exist and that's it, it's not smart. You're leaving it open-ended. You know what I mean? You're definitely leaving it open-ended for people to make their own interpretations, because if you don't give them a solid, well-rounded thing, you're not going to know.
Yes. Hey, just think how many group members you would get if the president came out tomorrow. UFOs over PA would need a bigger Zoom account.
It would.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it would be wonderful. And, you know, whichever one lands first, I'm going to try to get them on whenever we're on. Tell us about yourself, you know.
That it's is okay going because to be it's, the most it's requested online. Interview of all time if a live alien yeah, starts making podcast rounds.
They would call it public domain and screw me out of money. You know how it goes.
That's exactly what would happen.
I got the interview. Yeah, that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah. Hey, last night at your group Zoom call, you told an interesting story about an experience that you had. And I think people would love to hear this story. It's super interesting. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but, you know, I'll go into it. So, my first encounter, I guess it's my best encounter, my biggest encounter, anyone, would be that I was on a trip. I was 9 or 10 years old at the time, and I was going down to Florida to see cousins. They live down in Florida. I don't have flyers in my family, so we drove. So from Philadelphia to where they lived in Florida is a 20-hour drive, so it's not the best, right? So, you know, we're driving, we get to South Carolina, and my mother and my grandmother, they noticed something out of the right side of the car. And out of the right side of the car, there was this light, and it was more like saucer cigar type of shape. Think of two dinner plates on top of each other like this, you know what I mean, like that. Typical UFO shape. It was illuminated in a way that I can't explain. It wasn't like a light. It wasn't like a headlight. It wasn't like a car light. It was illuminated where you could see every single bit of it. And the clarity didn't lose clarity. You know, when you have a bright light, you can't see anything around it. This was a bright light that illuminated it. There was a town off in the distance in a field right outside or right next to the road. This is major interstate. If anybody's been to the East Coast, you know, I-95. So we pull over to the side of the road because there's other people pulled over to the side of the road out of their cars on the interstate, out of their cars looking, saying, what is that? What's up there in the sky? No more than 3 or 4 minutes. That's all it took for us to get out of the car and look where the state police of South Carolina were driving up and down the side of the road or on the road and telling people to get back in their cars. Cause duh, it's a big safety issue. You know, you can't be outside of your car right. on an interstate. They kept driving up and down with their bullhorn saying, "It's just a blimp. It's just a blimp. Keep going." Well, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget what it looked like and the feeling I got. I knew at that age, I was looking at something that I didn't understand, that I didn't know, that I didn't, you know, perceive as normal or on this planet. Mm. And that's the thing that I took away from the whole thing the most. Anybody can look up and you see a sky and you don't in the sky and you see a light and you don't know quite know what it is. The people that I've talked to, once you look at something, you don't know what it is. You have a different feeling that, oh, I don't understand what this is. It was that feeling that I took away that really, you know, made it a sort of traumatic event, if you want to think about right. it, that I didn't really want to know any more about UFOs. Nobody ever told me they were real. Nobody, you know, whatever, you know. So that's a little bit of answering your question before, Bertie, about it's one thing to say, yeah, I believe in aliens until you have your encounter and see exactly. something you don't understand. Exactly. So that was my first encounter. We got back in the car. We talked about it. We drove and you kind of forgot about it. But I can close my eyes right now and still see exactly what that thing look like, how it was different.
You never forget it. You never,
I never will. It.
Never, never.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that is young 9-year-old, 10-year-old Tom. That's his story of what his, you know, his UFO story and his origin story for anything. Because I would tell, I'll be very honest with you, throughout the next 10, 15 years of my life, I would love to trade that story in and never have to think about or had to think about it. And now right. that you mature, you become comfortable in your adult body, I wouldn't give that story up for anything.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And so many people have similar stories like that, and they've probably never shared it with anyone else.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, that's why community is so important. Right, right. They don't want to be outed. They don't want to be made fun of. Yeah. And it's also scary just to have the words come out of your own mouth if you're not used to sharing stories like this. It can be just daunting to even get the words out until you get used to talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want to be made fun of, but that's we right. know what we saw.
Exactly. And,
you know, how much is your resolve or it's being true to yourself versus wanting to be liked? Well, that's why I wanted to create a group where you can be both.
Right. That's wonderful. So here we've got a question sure. here from the audience.
The Doxter. I like that. Good name. Who or anyone in your group had two-way communication with aliens? So I've touched on a little bit of CE5, and I have a member of my group who I don't know if it would be alien or not, but who has gone out west to, again, she just mentioned the desert. I don't remember exactly where it was, and practice with she still calls him a master, and can't tell you what type she was practicing, what meditation, what have you. Jen Susan. And she went out there, trained, became able to, I don't want to butcher it, but almost like astrally project her consciousness out of her body and intertwine with spirits. And she's mentioned many times these are like gaseous entities, not like creatures, not like anything like that. It was just more of like a neon glowing gaseous thing that she would pass her consciousness, because she would transform into that, you know, or pull that out, and she would transform into that go right through. And everything that it knew or wanted to impart on her, she got. So there was no talking. There was no teaching. There was no, reading or anything. She just knew exactly what that was. So in terms of your question, I don't know if that can be, if you can call that alien, but I do know someone and have someone in the group who is fairly often a member of that group, that, you know, I would love to, you know, get her, if I knew when she was coming on, to have members of your group being able to ask. But she would be able to leave her physical body. She did mention that, and receive, she called them other higher dimensional spirits is what she called them, because that's what the master called them. And if that happened to you, I don't know if you would have a definition in your brain. I know I wouldn't, you know, yeah, what these are. So if they could possibly be alien, if you are on the interdimensional wave, or, you know, you believe that they can trans or come here through the dimensional plane, then if you wanted to go there, then yes, I feel confident saying she had a telepathic connection with multiple times, this isn't just once, with UFO spirits.
Oh, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. And you told me that, Bertie, you told me that they do have groups out where you are as well.
Yeah, we have CE5 group that their next outing is on April 6th, Saturday, April 6th, and they're going up to the foothills of the Sandia Mountains here, and that's mm-hmm. the regular place where they do CE5. It's something we promote through our group, and it's a once a month CE5 outing, and there's a number of people go up there, and many people have experiences doing CE5. They see orbs very frequently. Sometimes they've seen, you know, just the description you were just giving that your friend Susan had mm-hmm. Experienced, that kind of an entity. We had a CE5 presentation that we did with our group, and a couple of our experienced CE5 meditators gave a presentation last month. And they mentioned about these kind of blue translucent beings that they saw during a CE5 event. So that reminded me of what you were talking about.
I don't know if she remembers, and Jen, speak up if you remember. I don't know if she mentioned the color, but it was definitely translucent, you know, gas-ish, you know, a meld. No, she's like, we weren't physical. I couldn't touch
them,
but I couldn't touch me either. You know, we're at the mercy of our own definitions, right?
Exactly. And how we can
explain if we don't have the vocabulary for it, good luck trying. and this is new ground for all of us.
It is. There are so many different aspects of the phenomenon and so many different ways to approach it. Some people are more hands-on. They want to get out there and have an experience.
Yeah.
Some people don't ever want an experience, but they're fascinated by it and love to read and watch documentaries. So hey, you've had experience. I've had experience.
I'm talking about like CE5, but
yeah.
You know, I don't want anything in my brain. I don't want to know anything I'm thinking. But no, I have had that experience, you know, all across the, you know, across the board, you know, equal opportunity paranormal enthusiast is what I'll call myself.
Right.
But, you know, Susan, and she hasn't been on in a bit, so maybe if we change, she'll come back on. But she was somebody that was a great resource because she enabled a lot of others. I want to say walls to come down, because she was a nurse. She was a technical profession, you know?
Yes.
And she was like, openly talking about, you know, I saw Jen's comment. She was openly talking about being a nurse, a hospice nurse, and loving it, and being there when people would pass on, and unexplained things, lights coming out of them, doors shutting, you know, a room getting lighter, a room getting brighter, you know, things like that, you know, no matter what you want to call it, that is paranormal, because it's not the norm. And if you want to take a cop-out definition like that, by all means, because that, what else are you going to use? That's what it was.
Exactly.
So, you know, I just think we, you know, we should keep our eyes out. I do think it's growing. I do think more people are keeping their eyes open for things, you know, not just in the sky, but, you know, you know, paranormal realm, cryptids, things like that. The world is getting smaller with technology. You know, that is true.
It absolutely is.
10 years ago, I don't think you or I could have fathomed us doing this.
No, this wouldn't have even been possible. And this is amazing. We're here live, our two groups getting together, whoever was able to make it live, and everyone can watch this afterward that wasn't able to make it during the live show. And it's amazing. And hey, and I would like to extend an invitation to everyone in your group to come out and visit us in New Mexico. Come out for the Roswell UFO Festival, or come out later in the year, and we'll show you a good time, take you to all the UFO spots.
I think that's wonderful. I'm personally gonna make sure I take you up on that. And yeah, it's an area that we could get to. It's an area that we can, you know, maybe even have a collaboration again. You know what I mean? Something where we can discuss all of the weirdly things, and let's get a good story from now in between now and then that we can really discuss. You know, another Miami Mall or another Las Vegas family, or you know, something like that. Because
we should do some crossover events. I think that would be absolutely wonderful. And I encourage anyone in Albuquerque UFO UAP explorations to check out UFOs over PA and attend some of their Zoom meetings. And everyone in UFOs over PA is welcome to join Albuquerque UFO UAP explorations. And we have lots of online events that we're holding too. So we have in-person events for those in the state.
Yeah.
Or visiting.
And
Michelle's pointing this out too. A bunch of us are going to Contact in the Desert. Okay. So if anyone's going to Contact in the Desert, that's the first weekend of June. It's the biggest UFO conference of the entire year. Over 60 speakers. It's in Palm Desert, California. It is so much fun. Everyone goes to it. It's super fun. So
that's wonderful. I mean,
yeah, look us up.
I'm sure some of us we're jealous over here because you guys get all the big events and I'm sure our group would love to go, at least the three co-hosts of it. I'm sure we'll make it out. But Jen is having a watch. There we go. She's having a watch party. So please join our group and jump in on the watch party. It's something a little different that we do, but we watch something and we discuss it and get people's opinion on it. And it was absolutely a blast last time because we love when people don't have the same take on everything, and it promotes a good discussion. You know, it promotes us, you know, getting to know one another about what our beliefs are in certain things. So it's definitely a wonderful time. And Jen, if you can just go ahead and post the our group link or our group or to that individual event, and that would be wonderful to have whomever, you know, hop on. Because
either group, I am a member of UFOs over PA now. So if anyone over there wants to check out our group, just click on my head there in the member list. I'm Birdie, and then you'll find the link to my group, and vice versa. Tom's in our group. So
I'm in your group too. Yeah. So I'm sure I'll crash an event or so.
That would be great. Yeah, we're doing. We have a few super fun online things coming up, and they're going to be awesome.
I'm sure it's going to be a great time. You know, this thing is growing exponentially. I can't, you know,
it is
with just general content, you know, disclosure every few, you know, every so many months you'll have, okay, well, an update to that hearing, you know,
right.
Good or bad.
It's every day. There's some news on, you know, on, X or Twitter, whatever people are calling it these days, or on Reddit, UFO Reddit. I do too. I call it Twitter. Yeah. And just every day, multiple times a day, there's something new video, new comment from somebody in Congress. It's really hard to keep up.
The closed door meetings, man, that's where all the business gets done, you know. And it's probably already done before they even get in there, but you know.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this cross group event with me and talking about all your experiences. And we'll have to do this again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Yes. No, yeah. Thank you so much. It was wonderful getting into your group, getting to talk, answering questions from many, many interesting individuals, you know, and this is the thing. A lot of them never met me, seen anything, knew anything about me before, but I like that a lot of the things I was talking about, what they were talking about, we resonated with each other because
right.
for the good of the community, it's for the good of learning exactly. and understanding. It's not that's Tom right. up here, you know, it's preaching and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. And, you know, I'm sure our other co-hosts would love to hop on and do this too. And, you know, just spread the awareness of,
that's
of
right.
and all of our different theories. We all branch off into some subset, right, of the UFO.
Oh, everybody does.
Yeah. So, you know, Jen's a resident expert. She's our amateur anthropologist, as she says. And, you know, Mark is very in depth with metaphysics, and that's his realm too. So each one of us, you're going to get something different to hear and to listen and everything. So again, thank you, everybody. It was wonderful, Birdie. It was absolute pleasure.
And thank you,
yeah, absolutely. We got to do this again.
Absolutely do this again. Thank you so much. Okay, everybody, so we love you.
Yep. Bye.
See you next time.